Let's take our scriptures now and we'll hear from God's Word in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, we are reading this evening verses 1 through 22, the entire chapter. Isaiah chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, Isaiah chapter 2, these are the words of Yahweh. The word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. The land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. So the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. But do not forgive them. Enter the rock and hide in the dust, from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. And it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, and against all the beautiful craft. The pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. But the idols will completely vanish. Men will go into caves of the rocks and into the holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to make the earth tremble. In that day men will cast away to the moles and to the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold which they made for themselves to worship in order to go into the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble. Stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed?" And that is the word of the Lord. Verses 1 through 4 show us the spectacular picture of Judah's glorious future. And yet we come to the rest of the chapter, as chapter 1 was about Judah's present sinful condition. This chapter is about the impending judgment upon them. The first four verses, a time will come when God who has revealed himself in Jerusalem will be shown to be far greater than any other God currently worshipped. Yahweh is not just a local deity, he is the sovereign God of all the earth. And God's saving purpose will be seen to be universal. People from all nations, many peoples will be saved. We even see that on the day of Pentecost, and with us today the Lord's proof of his fulfillment in that. Verse 4 shows us that also that God is the one who will bring peace. Because these things are true of what will happen for Judah, for God's people. Verse 5, though Judah does not delight in God's law, let us walk in the light of the Lord so that we may receive such things as verses 1 through 4. That's what he's saying here in chapter 2. As he goes through now the judgments, the impending judgment, he says, you don't have to receive that judgment, but you will unless you come to the Lord. Verse 5. If you continue in the way of not delighting in God's law, a day is coming, he said. The word day appears three times in verses 11, 12, and 17. History began on the first day, it will end on the last day. That's what's referenced here. It is the day of judgment coming because of their rebellion. And what can they expect from this judgment? It is going to be terrible. It is picturing or foreshadowing the exile, but then is also picturing the day, the last day, the day of the Lord. Verse 10, it describes the day. It is the terror of the Lord. It repeats that phrase three times in this chapter. And it is humbling because also verse 10 we see the wondrous splendor of the majesty of our Lord, also repeated with the terror of the Lord three times in this chapter. And because of this, verse 17, the pride of man will be humbled. And the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And so verse 22, he's getting to the point. He's saying, stop trusting in man and man's creation. Everything that has to do with man. Stop trusting in man. It says, stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? I would assume, I don't know if this is true, but if going back, Spurgeon were to preach on a verse of a chapter, he's preached on one verse, if you know Spurgeon, he's always preached on one verse here and there. He would have preached on the very last verse, probably, I might guess. Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? And so he's saying what? He's saying, regard the Lord, esteem him. But what do we know besides this? What they did to Jesus. And this is why I would assume he might preach on this verse. Because it's the exact opposite of what we see to Jesus. Happening to Jesus in Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected. So he was not regarded. He was rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him, the Lord, Jesus, not. They were supposed to stop esteeming man, stop regarding man, and yet they were supposed to regard the Lord and esteem him, and yet they rejected him. And they esteemed him not. They gave up the very one they should have relied on. The sinner is the one who trusts in everyone and everything but the Son of God. And so here in Isaiah, depicting the glories and the woes that are coming. There are those who will make their way to a celebration in Zion. They are the redeemed of the Lord. But there are others who have rejected Christ, the Messiah of God, and are doomed. The wise will sit up and learn the lesson that Isaiah is teaching. And they will hear the call, verse 5, come, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so the call, the question to you is, are you walking in the light of the Lord? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your perfect, inerrant, infallible word. We thank you that you here show us the difference between those who are your people and those who are not your people. Those who are your people will come and stand in the light of the Lord, and those who are not Your people will not do that. They will stay in darkness. Those who are your people will esteem you and regard you, honor you. Those who are not your people will not regard you and esteem you not. In fact, they will regard man and esteem man and thus reject you. And thus they are not your people. And Father, may it be this day that we are the ones, all here, who are walking in the light. We ask that you would grant us salvation in Christ Jesus, who alone died on the cross for our sins, made atonement for us, and paid the penalty that we deserved in his death. We know that he could only have done that if he was the Son of God, divine in his person, being able to withstand in just those few moments the unmitigated wrath of you, the Father. And yet he was raised up from the dead because he also, again, was the Son of God. Dying so that we might live, and living that he might reign and we reign with him. And so, Father, we ask that you would turn our hearts from our sins. Turn them from the things of this world and the vanity that we find in it, as is described in this chapter of the things of the world, of the ships of Tarshish and the trees of Lebanon and all the mighty things of this world. Father, let us not put our hope and trust in such things, but in you alone, who is the sovereign God above all the earth, even above the heavens. For you are the infinite God, the eternal God, who is outside of time. And yet a God who is here and now by your Spirit in our hearts. And we being brought into your presence this day to worship you before your throne of grace. So Lord, grant us mercy. Grant us your grace. Lord, heal our bodies, that which we long for. You speak here of peace. We long for peace. Peace in the church. Peace in this world, which we know will come only in that day when you have dealt with your enemies. So we look forward to that day in hope of the resurrection of our bodies and being with the saints made perfect forever and ever. Lord, heal our bodies. We thank you that those who have recently had surgeries are doing well. We praise you for those servants who are helping them. We thank you for the new life born into the world, and yet who's been a part of our congregation for many months now. Lord, for all of us, even for that little one, we ask for salvation, that they would not know one day apart from you, the Lord Jesus Christ. For what a dreadful thing that is, to know life outside of Jesus. Any here who have experienced it, we ask that you, and are still, we ask that you would show them the light and bring them out of your darkness into that marvelous light to your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation in him alone, by faith alone, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.